Live from Monterey on California's beautiful Central Coast, this is the Ringside Boxing Show. I'm Dennis Taylor, welcoming you to join me and my expert analysts, Travis Hartman, Rizwan Zahid, and John J. Responsi, today and every week for the hottest, sweatiest show on the West Coast. And now, from Studio 1A, it's the Ringside Boxing Show.
Hey, welcome to another special edition of the Ringside Boxing Show. I'm Dennis Taylor, and I think I might have been the last journalist to do an in-depth interview with the great Angelo Dundee, the legendary trainer of Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, Willie Pastrano, Sugar Ramos, Luis Rodriguez, Carmen Basilio, so many others, including, by the way, George Foreman, on the night that Foreman regained his heavyweight crown by knocking out undefeated Michael Moore back in 1994 when Foreman was 45 years old. We spoke to Angelo Dundee on October 30th, 2011, and he died just under 4 months later. So we felt pretty fortunate to have this conversation that I'm going to play for you today. And it's an amazing conversation. You're going to love it. This was the second year in a row that we talked to Angelo on the Ringside Boxing Show. We spoke to him almost exactly 1 year earlier on October 31st, 2010, on a night when he was literally passing out Halloween candy to children who came to his front door while we were doing the live interview. And I'm looking for that tape, too. I can't find it right now, but hopefully it'll turn up, and I can play that for you some other time. So on this show that I'm talking about here, this interview that we did, which came 1 year later, we focused a little bit more on Sugar Ray Leonard and Foreman and some other topics as opposed to Angelo's times with Ali, which we touched on a bit. So that's what's coming up in about a minute, and I guarantee you are going to be fascinated. By the way, we record our weekly show every Sunday afternoon, and it's posted here on thegruelingtruth.net on Sunday evenings at about 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 Mountain, 9 Central, 10 Eastern. So you can start looking for it then, and you should be aware also that you'll be able to find it on thegruelingtruthnetwork.net all week long. So if you don't catch us on Sunday nights, just hook up with us later on in the week, and you'll be able to listen to the whole show. I also want to encourage you to check out our website, ringsideboxingshow.com, where you will find more boxing news every day than any other website in the world. I update it 365 days a year. So if you are a boxing junkie who has not yet discovered ringsideboxingshow.com, you're in for a real treat. I encourage you to check it out. Okay, let's get going. We're going to take a very quick commercial break, and then we will return with a truly amazing conversation that Irish Joe O'Rourke and I did on October 30th, 2011 with Angelo Dundee. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Dennis Taylor, host of the Ringside Boxing Show, inviting you to check out a new book I've co-written with John J. Responsi, Intimate Warfare, the True Story of the Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward Boxing Trilogy, is a behind-the-scenes look at the collision course of two authentic ring warriors of our generation and the greatest three-fight pyrotechnic explosion since Frazier and Ali. Intimate Warfare is currently on the national bestseller list and one of Amazon's hot new releases for 2017. Order it now online at Amazon.com. Hi, I'm Dennis Taylor, host of the Ringside Boxing Show, where since 2008 we have been continuously sponsored by Garcia Boxing, the first family of the Sweet Science on California's beautiful Central Coast. Trainers Max and Sam Garcia and ring strategist Dean Familton are regarded among the most knowledgeable in the game. And Kathy Garcia, who manages all Garcia boxing fighters, is renowned for her integrity and career guidance, having taken two boxers to number one world rankings. Together they comprise one of the most respected teams in the sport. Learn more by calling 831-261-3214 or send them an email at garciaboxing25@aol.com.
You're listening to the Ringside Boxing Show, the hottest, sweatiest show on West Coast radio.
Hearns keeping his advantage through the 12th round. side by Hearns. Final seconds of the 12th. Another solid round for Tommy Hearns as we see it. Angelo Dundee has to be very concerned in the Leonard corner.
You got 9 minutes.
You're blowing it now, son. You're blowing it. Okay, put the Irishman back. Keep it there. Keep it there, Ray, baby. Right there. Open your mouth wide. Let's go. Ray, you're going to fire. You're not firing.
Irish Joe, our featured guest today, is regarded among the greatest trainers in boxing history. He was the man who was in the corner for Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, Carmen Basilio, wow, Willie Pastrano, Jose Napoles, Luis Rodriguez, Sugar Ramos, eight other world champions, including, by the way, George Foreman, mm-hmm, the second time around, right, when he knocked out Michael Moore. Mm-hmm. And Angelo Dundee is still training fighters today. At Miami's most famous gym and newly renovated gym, the Fifth Street Gym. Congratulations on your 90th birthday, first of all, Angelo. How are you, sir?
You're very kind. I'm glad I made it.
Life's been pretty good to you, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. I'm having a little go-around with the boxing commissions. I wanted to put escalators in the corner so my legs a little bit shot.
Well, for you, they'll probably do it. You know, casual fans know that you trained Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard. What they might not know is about all those other guys, Basilio and Pastrano and Napoles and Jimmy Ellis and Ralph Dupas, Sugar Ramos, Luis Rodriguez, Michael Nunn, 15 world champions at all, and you're still working with fighters today.
Well, I had a lot of fun. Remember that? I was with Ray this weekend in Chicago, the Sports Hall of Fame. We had a ball. We were reminiscing everything. You know, when you played that round with Tommy Hearns, you gave me such a kick. But see, the mic wasn't on me before. I said, "You dumb sucker, what are you slowing down for?" But they didn't catch me with that. I looked pretty good, said, "You're blowing it, kid, you're blowing it, kid."
Gordon Marino wrote that you were actually in Cuba with a fighter when the revolution broke out. Angel, can you tell us that story?
Oh, I had a ball. I was in 3 days after the revolution. Fidel Castro had something called La Guerra Reforma, giving the land back to the poor people. So I went there with fighters, and naturally I stayed in the same hotel this Fidel Castro stayed. And I went to the fight, and imagine me walking around and say, "Hey, Fidel, go mustamba, Che Guevara, go with the same thing." And I'm giving all those guys my Italian, Cuban dialect, you know. Because they used to call me the Italiano Cubano in Cuba.
Wow.
What? That must have been a crazy time. Bullets flying through the air and all kinds of stuff, right?
Well, you know, I used to go to Cuba like every other week. So what happened there, I go back and forth. "Hey, how you doing there?" "Oh, fine, go right through." So after the revolution, I went there another week later, and all of a sudden I got stopped, brought me in the back, they looked at where the light didn't grow, and I said, "That's the last time I went back to Cuba."
Huh.
Because, it got a little tight.
They thought you were trying to smuggle some people out of there, too, didn't they?
No, they figured I was trying to bring some Cuban cigars back.
Angelo, what made Sugar Ray Leonard such a great fighter?
Well, you see, I think what was great about Ray, people didn't realize, he picked up the slack when Muhammad stopped. Yeah. So he picked it up as a little welterweight. Well, Ray had so much going for him. Charisma, talent, easy guy to work with. We had such a bunch of laughs just talking about fights. I brought him to Caesar's Palace. And I used to play four-wall handball in New York. And Ray got on me on the court, and you know what? I lucked out. I beat him with the dink shots.
Really?
So I wanted a return match. I wouldn't give him a return match. I figured I'd win it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But Ray was just a good guy. The funny bit, when we were in Hilton Head, we're playing tennis. So lo and behold, Angelo Dundee pulls a muscle. Believe I had muscles then. But with the tennis court, so I told Ray, "No more tennis. This is an omen." And we didn't go. That was before the Hagler fight.
Now, why did he lose to Roberto Duran the first time and then dominate him in the famous No Mas fight?
Well, see, you weren't walking with me with my wife and Ray and his wife. Duran met us on the street. He proceeded to tell Ray's wife what a number he was going to do on the husband, and when I get through with him, I'm going to come chasing you.
Huh.
So Ray wanted to kill the guy. You know, I had him all ready to do it like he did it the second time. Box of speed, use your talent. But he wanted to really bully the guy and show I'm the man here. But Duran, let me tell you something about Duran. Duran, to me, if he spoke English, would have been as big as any fighter in the country. He was big, even though he only spoke Spanish. Because he got a great sense of humor. So, but he really did a smoke job on Ray that day.
It must have been exhilarating for you as a trainer to be in the middle of an era, well, following the Ali era, really, but in the middle of an era where Leonard Hearns, Duran, and Hagler, and you can throw in Benitez, were all at the top of their games in the same general weight class.
Well, you know, I had a lot of other kids, you know, that didn't make it for championships. Like Michael Rossi wasn't chopped liver. David Love in California was a good fighter, knocked out a lot of Philadelphia fighters. Russell Peltz used to get mad at me when I go there and flat in a few of them. But I had other kids that I worked with that didn't make it. But now I had one kid named Danny DiLiberto. He just got inducted into the Billiards Hall of Fame. He was a billiard player. And what happened, I had to stop him from fighting because he had such fragile hands, he'd break them every time he fought. He knocked out a lot of good fighters. But see, a lot of guys don't make it, big bum champions. But I think there's a lot to be said. Not everybody could be a professional fighter.
Angelo, we're talking to Angelo Dundee on the Ringside Boxing Show. How confident were you in Leonard when he came out of retirement to fight Hagler?
Oh, I was very confident. See, what people didn't know about Ray, Ray's an athlete. Ray, what he wasn't fighting, was playing basketball, baseball. You know, he was like a three-point shooter. And we used to use Jake Morton that was with us when he got a big guy. He would block for him. And Ray always was doing something. Ray could be riding the car. Let me get out. I want to do some road work. He was always in shape. I knew he'd be in great physical shape. All I had to get him was in shape to fight a guy who was really right-handed to fourth southpaw.
Now, who did Ray...
I realized before the fight, you can just check it. I knew the greatest fighter as Hagler was, he had a little flaw. He would plant his right foot before he would throw a shot. So every time he planted his right foot, Ray would slide on him. Every time he planted his right foot, then he would punch. I let Ray nail him with a jab. And you see how many times he carried around with a flurry? This was all planned. Ray knew what he had to do with the guy, and Ray felt he could win, too. Because if you fight a really good win, you're in deep trouble.
Who did Ray consider his greatest rival?
What's that?
Who did Ray consider his greatest rival?
Well, Hearns. I mean, Hearns, they were made for each other. You know, certain fighters are made for each other, great fighters. And him and Hearns was such a classic. And we had a lot of fun during that fight, too.
Angelo, when you were working with a fighter like Ali or Leonard, did you have to put a lot of time into a game plan for a fighter? Or were those guys just so good that you kind of trusted them to do their own thing when the bell rang?
No. We discussed everything, the possibility of what could happen. When you got great fighters like that, they got their own idea what they think they can do. But what you do, you put your heads together and you talk. And Ray was a good listener. Mahat was a listener. Different type of individuals. But they had that classic. They were so imbued with what they wanted to do. We talked it over. It was never a game plan, no little charter. Because these kids, you got to get in their ring because they're such good fighters. Hey, what am I going to do? Put a pair of trunks and wouldn't fight for them? I'm a coward.
Angelo, which of your 15 champions worked hardest in the gym?
Well, you know, fighters that enjoy the gym become great fighters. Because you got to remember one thing. Going to the gym every day, same routine, skip moves, rings, box, spar. You know, it gets lonely. You got to be able to handle it. It's a tough grind. And it's something you always got to remember one thing. You're always in the mirror. You have people always looking at you. You walk down the street with a chick, you're a womanizer. You go into a place to get a Coke, you're a drunk. And, so, you know, these kids got to go through a lot of tough stuff. And, you know, if you hear me talking to a young kid, you think I'm trying to discourage you. What a tough profession it is.
What kind of a challenge was it to keep Willie Pastrano focused on the prize?
It was no challenge. I just had to stay with him in the same room and lock him up. So he would go. He was very particular. Snakes, rats, cockroaches, you know, everything.
And he liked the women a little bit, too.
Me? No.
Willie did, yeah.
No, he did. He wasn't. He mesmerized them. He was the greatest. He would give them that look. I think he used to make his nose move like a rabbit. He was ready.
How hard was it for you? How hard did women pursue Muhammad Ali? To what lengths did they go to get to him? Any good stories about that?
Well, you got to remember, when Muhammad was a kid, they thought he was a little bit gay because he was imbued to be the best fighter in the world, and he became that.
Okay, but yeah, the chicks came after him. Was that a challenge for you?
He would fend them off a little bit. He realized that you can't win. You got to be your guy. You got to pay attention to your profession.
We're talking to Angelo Dundee. We're streaming worldwide right now on the Ringside Boxing Show from Monterey, California. Clay Liston won. Tell us about the liniment story on Liston's gloves. Did his corner do that on purpose?
No, I don't think so. I really think that the Joe Polino, the cut man, had used Monsol solution on the cheekbone cut. Also, they were putting liniment on Liston's shoulder, which was supposed to have been injured. And I think either one of those caustic substances get on my kid's forehead, because both eyes were burning. I put my guided wire glasses, then I put my pinky in my eye, it burnt. And they're both, I washed it out, cleaned it out, and Ray was, and poor Muhammad was beside himself. He says, cut the gloves off, I want to prove that it'll work, this dirty work afoot. I said, wait a minute, can't fight without gloves, Muhammad, sit down. So, thank God, I gave one thing. I said, do me a favor. The bell rang. I said, run. And he ran for half a round. His eyes got clear. The bang, world champion.
Wow. Angelo, Ali Henry Cooper, what's the story of the ripped glove?
The ripped glove, it was never ripped. It was torn in the seam. So when he got hit with that left hook from Henry Cooper, thank God he slid down the ropes. His eyes were bushy eyes. He was down, going down. But when he banged on the canvas with his lower extremity, it broke him up. Came back to the corner. I had Chicky Ferrara working with me. God bless him. I let him handle it. Ice in the lower extremities, patting him. And then I went and told the referee, that glove is torn. We need another glove. Well, they went back to the dressing room and asked the commissioner, no glove. Came back to the commissioner, talked to the referee. I don't know how much time I had. I was looking to kill some time. So he come back and he says, Mr. Dundee, we don't have any gloves. That's all right. I said, we'll use these. I never took them off. And no, I never cut the gloves. I got credit for cutting them with a... Well, I got credit for a lot of things. They gave me credit for loosening the ropes in Zaire.
They sure did.
They were loose as a goose because the heat stretched them. They were half ropes. Well, I tied them. Me and Bobby Goodman went there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and tightened those ropes. But what happened, the heat, the extreme heat, they stretched them again by, we fought at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Wow. Now, Ali versus Cleveland Williams, was that Muhammad's best performance?
You'd have to, he had so many great ones, God bless him.
Yeah.
I say that the list of fight had to be the best performance. That's a young kid that fought the toughest guy on the planet. And he beat him. And we always thought he could beat him. And people thought I was nuts putting him in with the guy. But I had done a lot of homework on the list. Like, I had done a lot of homework with Tom Ears. I got a cute story to tell you. I went to Detroit. I was looking down to Tommy, how he was fighting. He fought Alvaro Gutierrez, and he stiffened that kid. What happened? He caught him cold and stiffened him. So newspaper men jumped on me. Hey, Ange, when are you going to make that fight with Ray Leonard? What do you mean, when are you going to make the fight? I said, I haven't seen enough. He keeps knocking people out.
Wow. Have you got a favorite story from Ali Frazier 1?
Ali Frazier 1? We had so much fun with that one. Muhammad used to chase him in airports. Yeah. Muhammad chased it. Look, glared at him through a window in the gym. We did a variety of things. We had a lot of fun. And let me tell you, it was all in fun. You know, here we give like Ernie Terrell the giraffe. George Savala was the washerwoman. Floyd Patterson was the rabbit, but he had his hands around his nose. Believe me, it was all in fun. And what happened, what created the break between him and Joe, somebody handled Muhammad, a mannequin, little monkey. So Muhammad had got perfect version, the gorilla, give him the chiller in Manila. So, you know, it rhymed. And he, believe me, he got no animosity towards anybody. Muhammad loves everybody. He's just that kind of a kid. And, you know, when I was in Chicago with Ray, he did a TV thing back to the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame, telling me, and then Lonnie asked him, you going to come back, Muhammad? Yeah, but no, I don't know about coming back, but if I come back, Angelo will be with me.
Talking to Angelo Dundee on the Ringside Boxing Show. I'm Dennis Taylor with Irish Joe O'Rourke. You know, we've all seen the Thrilla in Manila dozens of times, but I think what people probably have never heard, how long did it take Ali to recover physically from that fight? How tough was that fight on him, and what was the aftermath like of that?
Well, the Thrilla in Manila, see, what people didn't know, that was an indoor fight. And Araneta Arena was a coliseum and tin roof. I don't know how those two guys survived. That was the greatest exertion I ever saw with anybody. You know, after the fight, me climbing up and down the steps, man, I was laying sitting on my butt in the dressing room watching all the action. I was out. Mm-hmm. Imagine those two guys, the fight they fought. You know, you got to remember, he had such great people involved, like Eddie Futch, my best friend. And I think what the guy did was he cared about his fighters. He's that kind of a cat. And him and I have been friends forever. Now, people say, how can you be friends with the guy you're working against? He was my friend. And I always stayed in touch with the guy.
Angelo, when you were when you went against a guy like Eddie Futch or Emanuel Stewart or another really great trainer, did it psych you up? Did that make a difference to you when you were going against?
No, they were friends of mine. How about Ray Arcel? We were trying to. And Ray Arcel was a great trainer. He trained with Roberto Duran.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys, I knew the whole camp in Joe Frazier's corner. See, I'm a kid from Philly. Well, just because we're working against each other doesn't mean you've got to have animosity with the people. I shook hands with him before, and I shook hands with him after. Boxing's a profession where guys in the profession like each other. It's a nice feeling.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ali versus Foreman. People were concerned that Ali was going to get killed that night. Angela, were you worried about him at all?
God, no. He was not in the best shape of his life. He was so happy there. You remember, we were the local guy in Zaire.
Yeah.
And by the way, he got off the plane, Ali Boumaye. They were rooting for the guy. So he had a whole country rooting for him. Poor George made a mistake of bringing a police dog, which they hate there. Huh. And, you know, everything was flowing our way. And Muhammad trades. We had a great time. We had a lot of fun there.
Ferdy Pacheco left the team after watching Ali pass blood through his urine, I guess, for several days after the Ernie Shavers fight. Did you also try and talk Ali into quitting at that point?
God, no. I don't ever feel... I think it's a God-given right for a fighter, the life they got to lead and what they go through to make his own decision. And I had a little thing with him, though. There was an old heavyweight in the Fifth Street gym when he was a little kid, when he first came around, when he was 18 years old, and the guy was skipping rope. The rhythm was ba-bum, ba-bum. I said, Mom, see that guy over there? He's stuttering. So years after, when we're riding, he's taking the car, and I've told him, Mom, you know you're starting to stutter, baby. I just got to quit. Just a stutter job.
What effect did the Leon Spinks loss have on Muhammad Ali?
I couldn't convince him to get serious.
Yeah.
Call the guy with some bike going to beat me. You crazy? He said, No, Muhammad, the guy's a tough guy. I seen him fight his first four-round fight, got out of a cab with a lady, took a slug of whiskey. I said, that's a tough guy, Muhammad.
Was that... Afterwards, though, did that change Ali? Did that change his
approach at all? Well, no, the second time he fought him, he knew he had a guy in front of him, so he got himself in shape. See, if you don't get the guy mentally in shape, you're not going to get him ready. I don't think all the physical condition could lick that. You got to get him ready to know he's in for a tough night.
Now, Ali against Larry Holmes must have been a nightmare for you as a cornerman.
It was a heartbreaker, but the reason I stopped it, see, Muhammad, in all his fights, remember, he would always suck it up, bring something back to win. Well, there was nothing to suck up. The tackle went dry. He had taken those thyroid pills. I thought he was taking vitamins. That didn't help either. But what happened, happened. What's done is done. And listen, Muhammad Ali gets more out of a week than the fighter could do with a whole recitation.
You were trainer for Carmen Basilio. For sheer toughness, can anybody from the past decade compare to guys like Basilio and LaMotta and Tony Zale and, guys like Gotti and Ward and Barrera and Morales and Israel Vasquez belong in the same fraternity?
Well, see, they belong in the same fraternity, and we'll always, you realize one thing, there's no two alikes. All the names you mentioned, there's way to say they fought like so-and-so. That was a misconception. Every fighter had their own distinctive style. Well, how about, did you ever think you would see a kid from Mexico as a premier boxer? They were club fighters before.
Yeah.
Tough guys. I met all the Mexicans, you're going to crack up, in Cuba. They used to bring them over as opponents for the Cubans. And I used to work against all those guys. And I met all the great managers and trainers from Mexico who became friends of mine.
Now, the last time you were on our show, you told us you were the one who wrote all of Ali's poetry.
Why are they bad?
Angel, is that a true story, or were you pulling our leg?
It's true, I know the poetry was me. I was a rhymer from way back, a South Philly kid who knew how to rhyme, that's all. And Muhammad would like it, he would use it. But no, it was pretty bad. But coming from a good-looking guy like him instead of a midget like me, it was different.
You know what? I thought it was pretty damn great poetry.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
No, it was bad. You know what? But to fall like a butterfly, sting like a roach, I mean sting like a bee, yeah. That was Drew Brown.
Hey, you mentioned earlier this week that a movie about Roberto Duran is in the works. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I think, to me, Roberto Duran, if he spoke English, would have been top level. He'd have been a Muhammad. But the guy was great enough not even speaking English and in Spanish. He's a great guy, you know. And I got very friendly with him and his son. We were making appearances together. He's a remarkable fighter and a great guy. And he's doing fine right now. He's retired.
How's Ali doing now?
Ali's a happy guy. Ali got Parkinson's. I felt when he got it, he's going to lick it. I swear to God, because he licked everything else. But God knows, we got to find a cure for that.
Angelo, what kind of a guy was Drew Bandini Brown, and what did he mean?
Drew Brown was the funniest guy alive. I went to a press conference in New York with him. He scared half the press guys, like he was going to throw them out windows with that quick rhetoric. Man, the mothership, you know, and stuff like that. He scared the heck out of those newspaper guys. But Drew Brown was a nice guy. You know, Muhammad came down with training for listen. He said, Angel, I'm bringing Drew Brown down here. I said, what for? He makes me laugh. I said, okay, long as you're happy. That was it.
Was that his role with Muhammad? What was his role with Muhammad? What did he mean to the entourage?
He was a friend. Muhammad loved everybody. You know, we had guys in camp. They used to call him an entourage. But see, this was not true. All the guys in the camp generated Muhammad. No fighter can do that. Fighters can contain that. The more around, the worse they handle people. So Muhammad takes the charge of the battery for God. He loved those guys.
Talking to Angelo Dundee on the Ringside Boxing Show, you trained Michael Nunn. What's the story of that guy? He's in prison now.
Greatest softball around. And there you go, there's always somebody out there can lick you. He fought a guy one night, the guy hit with a left hook in close, winning the fight easy. This happens.
How about, tell us the story of Foreman and Moore.
Well, Foreman and Moore, George Foreman that fought when he came back, was a better fighter than the young Foreman. He was a home run hitter. The one came back was steady. Steady. He fighting would grind you down. And when he came back to the corner, you notice the way he bent down, because he didn't want nobody to hear what we were saying. All I said was, I think these guys getting ready for a sucker shot. And he set him up for the sucker shot with the jab, pulled a little bit, boom, the right hand went in. So that was it. And hey, he deserved to be world champion. He's a great guy. Let me tell you, he got the secret how to train an old body. So any old body wants to fight, talk to George, he'll help you out.
Angelo, what's going on at the Fifth Street Gym lately?
Well, they reopened it, thank God. I think it's a blessing for me, because I always felt they never should have torn it down. They should have used it as a model for Miami Beach, because it's on the same spot, but it's on the first floor. It's a Fifth Street Gym, and I'm proud. My brother Chris and I opened that gym, but they never should have torn it down, even with the termites in it.
Now, you're training a woman there, Christina Swanson. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, she's fine. She's fighting next week here in Tampa. And I got a couple other kids on the show. And by the way, I'm working on the heavyweight, so look out.
You know,
I
heard that. Yeah, I heard that. But you're not giving us any information about it. You're keeping them under wraps, aren't you?
You see, no sense of bragging until you're ready to brag.
Okay.
I'll make him do his own bragging.
Hey, with Christina, what's the difference between working with a female as opposed to a male? Did the corners smell better or anything?
No, she's a fireman, number one. See, you got to think the background. Why a girl? This girl's a fireman. She donates her purses to the fireman's fund. I get the fireman coming. In fact, Christina's sister is a policewoman in Houston, so I'm thinking of going to Houston with Christina. But she makes good fights. Is serious about her profession. I had a fight for her. She hurt herself in a fire, because she is a fireman, and she's a great lady. And no tattoos, no none. Good looking lady, but she could fight. And I'm sort of proud of her. It was my first adventure with a girl boxer. And now listen, I'm working with amateurs too now, because we want to get a good Olympic team. Because if we get a good Olympic team, we'll get fighters coming out of the Olympics. They're going to be giving the fans good fights for a change.
Angelo, what kind of a guy was Norman Mailer?
Oh, Norman was a nice guy. Just, hey, all those guys were nice guys. As long as they were right in boxing, I loved them.
What did you think of Cosell?
Cosell was the best. I made the marriage between him and Muhammad. I knew it would be a great one. I had a Willie fight in the Madison Square Garden. I did a two-minute piece with Howard on ABC, and I watched this guy, no monitor, no notes, no nothing, everything in his head, all the baseball scores, how many hits, how many errors, plus talk about the fight. I knew right away this guy was genius, and that's what he was. Besides, he was my friend. How about what he said about me on TV? If I ever had someone to be a fighter, he wouldn't be a fighter. But if you wanted to be a fighter, the only guy with handle would be Angelo Dundee. Now, where do you buy that? He was a great guy. He was my friend.
Angelo, how'd you get hooked up with Ray Arcel and Chicky Ferreira and those guys, your mentors as a young man?
Well, they were my teachers. See, I came back from Europe. I had the honor of meeting Joe Louis, Marcel Cerdan, Ray Famichon. I used to go to USA tournaments, Chris Norton, USO guy. So I went. Now, Chris, on the argument I had, my brother Chris might told somebody he was 15 years older than me. I was the youngest of five brothers. So Chris, you never said that. I'm 39. So, okay, I'm sorry, Chris. That's the only beef I had with my brother Chris. Chris was a great guy, great promoter, a great human being. Everybody loved my brother because he knew what he was doing. He knew how to promote. He used to promote fights at the Miami Beach Auditorium, no TV, every Tuesday. This guy can really promote. But I'll tell you, I'm a fortunate human being. Joe Louis and I were friends from 44. I met him, he's such a good guy. What a great name, what a great human being. So I'm blessed. I've met a lot of nice people in my profession.
Angelo, speaking of Louis versus Ali, what would have happened?
What's that?
Speaking of Louis versus Ali, what would have happened in that fight?
Who would want?
Joe Louis.
Who was fighting Muhammad?
Joe Louis.
Oh, no, forget. I don't make those kind of... Style-wise, he would have beat Joe Louis. I would say he would beat Joe Louis style-wise. See, styles make fights. And that'll be like that for the rest of our lives.
But, Angela, what's your opinion? Is boxing dying, or is it just going through a low
boxing
right now?
Boxing just going through another era. Boxing will be fine. All we need is a little kid in every little town, any little ballywick, and let the fans get excited. The fans have to know the fighters. That's the trouble. See, I speak Spanish, I speak bad Italian, bad English. So the thing is, I don't want to learn Russian. I'm having trouble. And we got to find a big guy to kick the boot, those two brothers. You know, the better fighter the two brothers are, they use the old guy with that long left hand sticking out.
Yeah. About 1 minute left with Angelo Dundee. Who among the current crop of fighters, who excites you today? Who would you pay to watch?
Well, you know, you got to whisper the excitement. Everybody wants to see Mayweather fight Pac-Man. And, no, this is the fight that's got everybody juiced up. But this guy Martinez, he chopped liver. We got guys around there. If we match them together and give the fans what they're worth, I want to see Mayweather fight Pac-Man. You know, the fight belongs. The public deserves that fight.
Yeah.
And if I see Mayweather, I will tell him to his face. He deserves to do that for us, for the fight fans.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure. Last time you were on the show was 1 year ago, almost 1 year ago today. You were passing out Halloween candy when you were on our show. Remember that?
I think I told you I wanted a return match. I can have a return match for you anytime. Thank you for having me.
Okay, it's our honor.
Thank you, great sir.
Angelo Dundee, thank you very much.
Wow, what a privilege it was to speak to Angelo Dundee on October 30th, 2011. That was less than 4 months before he passed away. Let me remind you again to catch the regular edition of the Ringside Boxing Show this Sunday night at thegruelingtruth.net. It should be posted on that website at around 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 Mountain, 9 Central, 10 Eastern. And if you miss it on Sunday night, you'll be able to find it there all week. Don't forget to check out our amazing website, ringsideboxingshow.com. I update it 365 days a year, and you'll never find a website that has more boxing news on it than that one, ringsideboxingshow.com. I'm Dennis Taylor, and if you want to email me, I'm at contact@ringsideboxingshow.com. Thanks for joining us again today, Ringside Nation. We will talk to you again this coming Sunday on the Grueling Truth Sports Network.
Well, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off of my back, 'cause you might get cold cock if you cross my path. This